So first of all, I'd like to call on Leo Pera, who's going to talk about public hearings. Leo.
Thank you, Jack. There's a new schedule, as some of you have seen, included in the package that was handed out this morning. And very, very quickly, I think I mentioned last time, hope was eliminated. We added a second session for Surrey. We moved one of the Vancouver sessions around so that we'd have a wider period of time between the two. We made some changes in the dates up in the Northeast. We made some changes to the Grand Forks Nelson dates because once a decision was made to have something going on in the last weekend in June, we had to move some meetings away from that time period. And we've made a few other additions of a number of smaller communities. Last night I started thinking that we have one community that we kind of left out because it's halfway between Williams Lake and Prince George, but it's a fairly sizable community. And then there are people that live to the east and west of that community. So I think we need to add Quesnel to that list. And if you want to just have the time, we'll put it in right after the meeting in Prince George. So it'll be on May 11th. And so that'll be the list of communities that we will begin to find facilities to set up meetings for the May-June period. Some of you have sent in the form. I think we had about 70 forms or emails by Friday, so that leaves about 90 people. Some of you may not be able to attend hearings, and that's fine. If you would let us know that, then we won't be bugging you. If those of you are still interested in attending hearings, then do let us know what your interests are. And we're making an assumption that your first choice is likely to be your home community, but it may not work out on the date that we have selected for your home community, so that's fine as well. I think we intend downsizing some of the groups to be able to have more community meetings, and so some of our community groups will be in the area of about four people, maybe two or three staff people to support the meeting. And that way we'll be able to manage the budget by having fewer people at some of the really small communities. I don't think we need 8 to 10 people in some of the really small communities. Every Saturday is taken, and I think there's a couple of Saturdays where we may have two meetings taking place at the same time somewhere in the province. But the key thing is certainly for you to get your information back to us. Now, we've prepared a form for the public to see, and there will be a form up on the website. There's one there now occupying space, but we've redesigned it so that people can go in and pre-register to make presentations for the public hearings, and you'll be able to see that on Monday. That will be up there. So I don't know if there's any questions at this time. I tried to make it as quick as I could and kind of capture the changes. Questions? Okay, well, yes, Lana.
You said the Saturday, all the Saturdays were filled. So people that haven't sent theirs in...
No, we haven't assigned any members to it. I'm just simply saying that we have some meetings on every Saturday in the May-June period, except for the long weekend in May.
We still
have to put people in. And I know some people prefer the Saturdays because they have a work problem or a work issue, and that's fine, but just let us know. Okay, fine. Well, we'll see you at the hearings. Oh, sorry. Question? Okay, go ahead.
Leo, what will be the function of the assembly member at the public hearings?
We expect assembly members to be there to listen and possibly to ask questions of clarification, to be able to speak with presenters possibly after the meeting. I don't know just how many people will want to make presentations, but if we allow about 10 minutes for a presentation, 10 minutes for questions, 5 minutes for slippage, changeover, and whatnot, we might get seven people presenting within an hour. I don't know whether that's going to be too much or too few, and we'll have to take note of that as people pre-register. But the idea would be for assembly members to be listening and to ask questions of clarification. Hopefully, we won't get into debates about the positions that people are offering. We'll have a member of the staff kind of run the manage the meeting for the hearings. Further question?
Yes, they do. As a matter of fact, and I guess maybe I should have asked this one first, but the public hearings, is that an opportunity for the public to present, for instance, advocacy groups, or is this an opportunity for the assembly to explain to the people what the assembly has been doing or what the assembly is doing?
Well, I think it'll be a bit of both. We're hoping to have a video available for us. It might be about a 10-minute video so that we can provide an overview of what the assembly has done to date. We hope to provide all of the people who want to make a presentation with a copy of the options that the assembly has pulled together so that they have that. We also want to give them a copy of the mandate statement that Jack has prepared so that they know what the focus of the Citizens Assembly is, and hopefully they'll keep addressing what it is that the assembly can talk about. Rob?
It is going to be groups and individuals making presentations, or just individuals?
We don't know what the answer to that question is. People will send in a request to make a presentation, and it's our intention to more or less accept those.
But groups would be acceptable as well?
Yes, and hopefully they'll have a spokesperson to kind of answer or speak for them. And there may be just open questions from the public, because we don't want to deny just members of the public an opportunity to raise questions. But clearly people who have pre-registered to make a presentation will have first opportunity. Okay, thank you. Oh, another one?
Yes, will they be written presentations, and also will we be videoing them as they're presenting their point of view?
It's not our intention to videotape the presentations, but we're looking at the possibility of an audio tape, just for the record. We hope to have what we call a note-taker service that will capture the main themes that the presenters are making. But we will have, hopefully, an audio tape just for backup information. Yes?
Yes. Can we see now an outline of what is going to be presented by the Citizens Assembly at these meetings? Is there an outline now?
No, that's something that the Assembly has to do, hopefully, and we'll have it completed by the end of March in the last session. It's my expectation from the work that Ken and Jack and Campbell are doing that somewhere in the latter part of March we'll be moving towards identifying some of the options that the Assembly seems to be focusing towards. And that's what we're referring to. Paul?
Key messages that are going to be presented to the public at these hearings. So we can have advance notice of the messages and some input into those messages.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's your message.
Yes.
Yes.
And when will we...
We should have that messaging completed by the end of March, and the actual production of it and so on will probably take place in the early part of April.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Oops. I did.
Thank you, Leo. Public hearings, very important phase of our work, and of course this is how British Columbians all over the province can have an opportunity to interact with members of the Assembly and to give their views. So I'm pleased they're going forward well, and indeed we'll prepare some things before you leave, but your recommendations near the end of March, as Leo says, will form the basis of what we tell British Columbians. But they will not be restricted to that, only to the mandate. We've got to make a fairly big decision in about another 10 minutes or so, the first real big decision of the Assembly. And we have suggested at a couple of times that we probably think we ought to have a meeting, an extraordinary meeting in June, late June, and that would be actually June 26 and 27. And there are two reasons for this. One is that between the end of March, like March 17 or whatever, when we finish, and the beginning of September when we start again, it's almost 5.5 months, and 5.5 months is a long time not to see each other. I know we're going to be talking to each other in the web and everything else, and we'll have announcements, but that's a long time. Secondly, May and June is when we're doing the public hearings, and if we hold the meeting at that time, that weekend, we'll be able to kind of pull together what we've been hearing in the public hearings and have a pretty good sense of what was said. In addition, of course, over the summer, we will give you written kinds of summaries and statements, but it would be a good time to pull all that together. So we really have two decisions to make. One is, should we have that meeting? Knowing full well, by the way, that not all members might be able to attend, because this wasn't given to us in advance when we went to those selection meetings. So there's not the same kind of obligation that there was when you, at the selection meeting, said, yes, I am eligible and I am committed. But my hunch is that most people would make a pretty big attempt. The second decision we have to make, if we decide that there's such a thing, is where will we have it? But maybe we should do it in order. And I think maybe the best thing to do is perhaps we could either go straight to a show of hands, or I could take one person who might want to speak for the meeting and one person who might want to speak against, if there's that possibility. Or do you want a straight vote? Do we have a meeting in late June? Yes. Terrific. That's what you call consensus. Everything we else do now is going to be the same way, I'm sure. Brooke, why are you laughing? Now the other question is, where are we going to have it? There's three options are, we have looked at a few others. Kelowna was not possible, by the way. Kelowna is a nice central location, but there's lots happening in Kelowna. There's just simply no space available. Maui, well, actually, some persons suggested Las Vegas. And we've got a lobby group for Las Vegas because we know that we can probably go there and probably have the meeting more cheaply than in almost anywhere else, because they'll give us the hotels almost for free. Dinners are very cheap. But my hunch is the taxpayers, the public, is not going to buy that. So we have Vancouver, Kamloops, and Prince George as options. And let me tell you that Vancouver, by the way, includes using the WASC Center, but it does not include the hotel. There's a huge convention going on in Vancouver at these dates. So we would be in 7 or 8 hotels, maybe out as far as Richmond. Not that Richmond's very far away, that's where I was born. But we would be in 7 or 8 hotels all over. So when we think of Vancouver, it's not Vancouver as we have experienced Vancouver. The other option is Kamloops, which we've checked it out, and we can use the Caribou College. It has a conference center. And we can use part of the Caribou College itself. And apparently it's a very nice facility. And, of course, Kamloops is a wonderful, spirited city. And then there's Prince George. And Prince George has the Civic Center. And it's a very good facility. And there are hotels. The major hotel is kind of short of space. But there are a couple of other hotels there we can use. And, of course, as we know, Prince George is a great, spirited city, too. Right, Douglas? So, a few comments and questions. Yes, Vicki.
How is the accommodation in Kamloops?
Kamloops accommodation? Lots of accommodation in Kamloops.
So just several different hotels we would be?
Several different hotels. We'd probably be able to do it in about 3 hotels in Kamloops. But they're not close to the village. Alan?
The cost of Kamloops versus Prince George, does that come into the question?
There's about a $20,000 difference. The cheapest is Vancouver, Kamloops, most expensive Prince George. But it's not a humongous number. The advantage for Kamloops is a lot of people in the greater Vancouver area can drive to Kamloops, whereas they can't. Katie?
That's just the point I was making, is Prince George might be in the middle of the province, but Kamloops is in the middle of the population. And also, a majority of the hotels are close to UCC. It's all within a few kilometers.
Can I put down that as a pro Kamloops vote? Let's hear for Prince George. Anybody for Prince George?
Yes, over here.
Rick. Oh, a hand. How about Douglas? I think you know Prince George.
Here we go. One of the things I want you to seriously consider when you're considering Prince George is a lot of the people across our province are looking at the Citizens' Assembly as something that's taking place in the southern part of our province. And a lot of people are looking at Prince George and thinking, Prince George is the northern part of our province. When are they going to start bringing decisions and things up to the northern part of our province that affect people in the north? I want you to consider that when you think about whether it's Kamloops or Prince George.
Mary.
Yes, and I would like you to consider Prince George as well, not only just for Prince George, but we have a huge, vast area up there. We have Vanderhoof, Fort St. James, Quesnel, Williams Lake, all those areas that would like to come into Prince George. And we can certainly accommodate this group in Prince George at our Civic Center, and we have hotels that can do that as well. It's a great place to be, a fun place to be as well, and I think it would be nice to for the people from the south to come up and see what we're talking about when we say it's the great big north.
But, you know, this is a great discussion. No one's sitting on the fence. Chris, and then Diana.
For someone who has lived for a number of years in Dawson Creek, and the feeling that everyone, including myself, had when I lived up there was that the province basically ends at Hope. And I think it's important to send a message to the people of British Columbia that while the majority of the deliberations are taking place in Vancouver for obvious reasons, here's a golden opportunity for us to show the rest of the province, and particularly the North, that we think it's an important part of this process. So my vote would go with Prince George.
Thank you. Diana, and then Sheila.
What's the weather like in both of those places at that time of the year?
Very quick. Very, very quick answer.
I want you to consider June 26th. Consider June 26th sitting in a building in Kamloops versus June 26th sitting in a building in Prince George. The climate in Prince George is going to be probably wet and rainy, to be totally honest with you, at the end of June. And I would much rather, and I have no doubt a lot of others, would much rather be indoors on a wet, rainy day as opposed to a hot, sunny day in the Okanagan Kamloops area.
Katie, we got to have equal time for Kamloops. Would you like to respond to that, please? Then we got
There's lots of air conditioning, actually. I attended that college.
Thank you, Sheila.
While being from not in the Lower Mainland here, I feel it's good for the Assembly to meet other places. I think there's some real serious concerns to consider, and one is that I don't believe any airline carries enough people into either Kamloops or Prince George to get this whole group there. Kamloops is drivable, perhaps. I think Prince George is not as easily drivable for people. I'm sorry to say that to the Prince George people, but unless we charter airlines or something, I'm not sure how we would get there easily.
Okay, we're going to take about three more, and then we'll kind of see where we're at. George?
Originally, I was going to be on the Prince George hit list, but I've had to change my mind about a couple of things. The hotel situation here is going to be a problem. But there is one big point, is that there are some people that join the Assembly because they could spare the Saturday and Sunday here, but they work on the Friday and they don't have the time to travel on the Friday.
Rob.
That was partly my concern, is how long it... I have no problem going to Prince George, Kamloops, or wherever the Assembly decides, but I am restricted by... time. I was just wondering how long it takes to get to Prince George. I have to fly from the island to Vancouver to go wherever we decide. So how does that work?
We're going to have to do a lot of figuring out, by the way, to make it. There you are. Jay.
That was my question. What is the travel time if you drive from Vancouver to Prince George?
Drive?
Yeah.
12 hours.
9 to 10.
Okay, we're going to take just a few more. Bob, and then Susan. Pay, and that's it. We take a vote.
Okay, from Prince George, there's 6 flights a day. You can start in the morning, fly to Prince George in the afternoon. Starting at 3 o'clock, there's a flight every hour out of Vancouver to Prince George. As far as the time end of it goes, there's a lot of us from the north down here. We work shift work up north. We're taking Fridays off, we're taking Sundays off, and we're all here because we want to be. Thank you.
Susan.
It doesn't take 12 hours to drive
from here to Prince George. I used to live in Williams Lake. It took me between 5 and 5.5 hours. It's another... Hey, I wasn't speeding. I don't speed. I was not speeding. You can make it to Prince George in under 10 hours. Guaranteed. And if we have it in Prince George, I'll gladly take 2 passengers with me.
Tia.
I was just going to say that for myself personally, I'd rather go to Prince George because part of this meeting, we're doing a lot of talking about the northern areas. And to be honest, I haven't been up there. So I don't really know what they're talking about. And this is a great opportunity for us to go and feel the other side of it.
Okay, 2 more. Michael, Michael deferred. Would you like to say something, Michael? And then Gene, and I think we'll...
I think Bob actually spoke from my point. I was just going to say the same thing. I work up in the north. I work and I drive 2.5 hours to Prince George on Friday and fly down. And it's quite a huge commitment. And I don't think people in the lower man kind of realize that commitment. That's all I wanted to say.
Gene.
I live in the lower mainland, Vancouver Island, but I know this province. We got to put our money where our mouth is, assembly members. Go to Prince George. I support that.
Now, Anne, you maybe that's the last. I keep on weakening. Need a new chair. Go ahead.
I'm from the lower mainland as well. It takes me 20 minutes to get here. I'm very appreciative of everybody putting in the travel time, and I'm certainly willing to give up my Friday night to travel to go into the areas that you come from and learn more about the north as well. So thank you very much.
Okay. Are we ready to vote? We have Vancouver, Kamloops, and Prince George. We'll go in that order because that's the order I started them. I don't know why, but we'll do that. And how many for Vancouver? I think Vancouver has lost this vote. So we have Kamloops and Prince George. Okay, how many for Kamloops? How many for Prince George? Okay, there's the winner. There you go, Prince George. Thank you very much for that spirited discussion.
Thank you from Prince George.